Morning, everyone. It's good to see you this morning. just before getting to the word, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we honor you and we give you all the praise. We thank you, Father God, for this opportunity to come and hear from you. We thank you, Lord, that the entrance of your word brings light and it gives understanding. So, Father, as we hear your word, let light shine in our hearts. And, Father, give us understanding. And I pray that there will be no distractions, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
So, where do I start from? Okay, so a couple of weeks ago, we had the opportunity to hear the vision of this year. So we had an opportunity to hear the theme of this year for our church, for us as the people that are part of the church, and it is being rooted. And we had also an opportunity to just take out some time to fast and ask God how he wants us to apply that word into our lives. So it was based on Colossians 2. And during that time, I was going through just a season, and I was trying to make some decisions. I was like, oh God, whether I say yes or whether I say no, I need faith. So I was like, ooh, the best way to encourage myself, let me go and read about Abraham, because he's the father of faith. and as I was reading that story, God started to highlight to me the fact that he just needs one person to say yes to him for him to reveal his glory in a nation, in a family, in someone, in a workplace, in a person's life. God partners with us to reveal his glory. He can't just show up, but he wants to partner with us. And when Pastor Andy also came and started to unpack the word, he talked about how God is calling us out of the crowd experience and calling us into a personal experience with him. And I found that very, very powerful, because many times we come to church and we get used to the big body, the body of believers, the church as a whole, and we forget that we are part of a body, but we are a member of that body. So God speaks to us in a different way that he speaks to other people, and God is calling us also to do certain things that he may not necessarily be calling your neighbor to do. And God has also given us different areas of influence. So your workplace, your family, where you live, those are the areas of influence that God has given you, but he hasn't given it to all of us, because we all live in different places, we all go to work in different places. And so when I was reading the story of Abraham, what stood out to me was the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. A lot of people associate that story with wickedness and everything, but I was reading it and I think we're going to read it first and then I'll share my thoughts on it. So let's read Genesis 18, 16 to 33. When the men got up to leave, they looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him." Then the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sin is so grievous that I'll go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know." The men turned away and went towards Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far it be from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" Then the Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." And as you read down 27 to 32, it's just that discourse with the Lord and Abraham, you know, saying, okay, if they're 40, if they're 45, if they're 30, until he reached 10, and then he stopped. So 32 says, then he said, Abraham says, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found? He answered, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. When the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left, and Abraham returned home. And so as I was reading this story, I was like, oh, wow, God, like, God had come with, like, a purpose. When you read the backstory, the three men had come to go to Sodom and release judgment because there was wickedness, right? But then they passed by Abraham's house to encourage him because at this point, it's been 19 years, and he's waiting on that child that the Lord had promised, and the child is nowhere. So they had come to encourage him, and as they left, God was like, oh, should I share what I'm going to do with Abraham? Or should I just, like, keep it to myself? I was like, no, let me share. Like, Abraham is my friend. I'm going to share it with him. And so he did. And we see that Abraham responded. He actually stood in the gap for the righteous people in the city. Because God had already made a decision to destroy the city, whether they were righteous people or wicked people. But he shared what he was going to do with Abraham. And Abraham, based on the character of God that he knew, he was like, no, God, you are a righteous judge. You cannot sweep away the wicked with the righteous. I mean, I don't know if he knew that they were righteous people because the story ended and the city was destroyed. But he actually stood in the gap for those people and he interceded. And he had this conversation with God for the righteous people. And we see that before we get there, I guess, this story made me question, like, okay, Daphne, when God reveals things to you concerning your family, concerning the nations, concerning your workplace, what do you do? Do you just, like, get up and be like, oh, that was a good dream. Oh, that was a very good conversation, and do nothing? Or do you actually know that you can do something about it? Do you pray about it? Do you declare truth? When you go into a situation and there is so much deception, do you speak truth in that situation, or do you be like, oh, this place is so, so depressing. I need to leave, you know? And from that, God was really saying that he wants to partner with us to reveal his glory in those areas. If none of us say yes, his glory will not be revealed. And that's why when Mordecai was telling Esther, if you don't go to the king and talk about this decree that I think Haman had made to the Jews, God will raise up somebody else to do it, but don't think that your household will be spared. So God will raise up somebody else to do the thing that he is calling you to do, but he wants to use you because he has given you everything that you need actually to walk in that, in the light, to be the light, to be the person that stands in the gap for those people. And we see the end of the story that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. And I mean, the Bible says later that Abraham woke up and went where he had stood with the Lord and just saw smoke rising up. And I'm sure he would have thought, oh, did my prayer work? You know, what happened? But we see later that in Genesis 19:29, it says that, so when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham and he brought Lot out of the catastrophe that overthrew the cities where Lot had lived. So we see that actually Lot was spared because Abraham stood in the gap. But we also see that when I was also reading this story, I thought of, there were really no 10 righteous people in that city. Like, 10. I don't know, like, just imagine haven't. No 10 righteous people. Because we have an understanding that righteousness is not through our works. It is given to us because of the finished work of the cross. But there wasn't any. And it also made me think of the power of the presence of a righteous person in a situation. Like, you being the believer in your family, there is a lot of blessing and goodness and mercy that your family is receiving because you're there, because you believe in God, because you trust in him. So I was like, wow, okay. So I guess I want to go on this journey that to encourage us that we have all that we need to say yes to God. When you enter into a situation, when you're having a conversation with a friend, a work colleague, and they're sharing a need, they're sharing a challenge, you have the capacity to bring light into that situation, to pray for them and see healing, to share the gospel and they be saved. You don't have to say, oh, I'll take it to my connect group, or oh, I'll take it to that prayer group that I'm on and they'll pray for it. No, you can pray because you have access to God. You are a child of God. And I just wanted us to go and remind ourselves of who God says we are and what God says we have, so that when you go back into the, when you go into the week and you go back to our workplaces, we know that we have the capacity to stand in the gap for the people that are around us. Our prayers are effective and they are powerful and they do actually make a change. And as I was, I guess, asking God, okay, I need a scripture to kind of like solidify this for myself. I landed on Philemon 1:4-6. And this is Paul praying for Philemon. And he says, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So as I was reading that, I was like, oh, so actually the sharing of my faith becomes effective when I first acknowledge every good thing that is in me in Christ Jesus. I can't show up as someone that I don't believe that I am. And I think the last 2 weeks I was in, so for those that don't know, I'm training to become a pharmacist and I'm in my last year of training before I get my license. And last 2 weeks I went to a community pharmacy, and I think it was my first day, and the pharmacist there was like, oh, there is this patient that wants to have a consultation, go and counsel them. I was like, what? Me? I'm a trainee. No. You should go and talk to them. And was like, no, you need to start thinking like a pharmacist. You have graduated. You're just waiting for your license. Everything that you need to actually have a good consultation, you do have. But because I didn't acknowledge that, I was thinking, I'm just a trainee. I'm here to shadow, you know, be supervised. I'm not here to do anything. When the opportunity came, I froze. And I just said, oh, I'm so sorry, I don't know what to say. So he had to take over. But I was reflecting on that. I'm like, many times that's how we are, you know. We're going to our workplaces, people will be complaining, people will have so many challenges, we'll put on the news, everything is just going bad. And we'll literally be like, oh, there's nothing I can do, it's too big for me. Like, I already have my own challenges personally, I already have things going on in my family, I can't really do anything about that. But actually, it starts with acknowledging who you are in God, what God has given you. Because when you know that, if I acknowledge that, Daphne, you're a pharmacist, you have the knowledge, go and have the consultation, I would have shown up. And so I learned from that. I went home, I studied the topic, and I was ready. The following day, I was like, yeah, I'm ready. I didn't get another opportunity, but hopefully in the future. But I just want us to go through some of the things that God says we are, because it starts with acknowledging who we are. When you know who you are, then you can show up as that person in any situation, right? So John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. That means you are a child of God. I mean, we've just sung about it. You're no longer a slave to fear. You're a child of God. So one of the things we have to acknowledge, that we are children of God. Like, every day when you wake up, remind yourself, I am a child of God. I have access to God. Like, when I pray, God hears me. Not because of what I've done or I've read my Bible. No, because I'm a child. I'm his child. He loves me. He covers me. All the promises in the Bible are yours because he is your father. Second, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 6:10, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. When we go to work, when we are having conversations with people, we carry the Spirit of God. I think in Isaiah 6, talks about how the Spirit of God is the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of might. He's the power of God, and you have that inside of you. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Yeah. That means you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Yeah. The righteousness that we have, as I said earlier, is not because we've come to church, we've prayed every morning, every evening, every afternoon, every hour, we've read the Bible back to back. No, it's because of what we're actually going to celebrate next weekend, Easter. Jesus came, became sin, died in our place, and resurrected. And because of what he did, because of his obedience, we are righteous. And you are the light of the world. The Bible says in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. In John, when John is telling us about Jesus and calling him the light of the world, he says that, you know, he was the light of men and the darkness could not comprehend him, could not overcome him. That is the light that we are. That is the light that we carry. So that means that when we go into places that are full of darkness, we don't have to fear that, oh, the darkness is going to get into me. That, no, you carry light that the darkness around you cannot comprehend. But you have to acknowledge that. Otherwise, you won't walk in that identity. And then you just, the enemy will just lie and make you, like, open a door for him to just speak lies and make you live in an identity that actually doesn't belong to you. So it comes from acknowledging that this is what God says. Because how many of us believe that, actually, the Bible says that God is not a man, he's not a liar, right? So that means that when he says something, regardless of how you feel, regardless of what people have told you from young until now, that doesn't matter. God is speaking the truth. And so he says, you are the light. He says you're the righteousness of God. He says that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he says that you are a child of God. Yeah. And lastly, you are an ambassador for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 20. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. When we are walking and we're sharing the gospel, we've got to acknowledge that we are ambassadors of Christ. We are his image bearers, you know. When we go into different places, home, your community, you are the ambassador of Christ. You are his image bearer. When people meet you, they see Jesus. When people are in your presence, they are in the presence of God because you carry the Holy Spirit, right? But we've got to believe that, because if we don't, we don't show up like that. We show up like everybody else that is in need of Jesus. We have him. We have Jesus, you know. And when we know that we have him, then it's very easy for us to share him with those that are around us, with those that don't know him. And so why is it important in knowing your why is it important to know your identity? Because before God sent someone out, he reminded them of who he says they were. Do you get? So like when before God sent Gideon out, he came and was like, mighty man of valor. And Gideon was not feeling like any mighty man of valor at that time. But God understood that if I don't remind him of who he is, he's not going to go and actually fight the, I think, Midianites. I can't say that word, but those people that were attacking them and, you know, causing famine in their land. Even with Moses, when God was sending Moses to Pharaoh to rescue the Israelites, Moses had 1 million excuses. It's like, oh, I stutter, I do this. And God had to remind him, but I made you. I'm the one that makes the mouth that you're saying is stuttering, you know. I'm the one who created you. Even when you think of Jeremiah, when he was sending him out to be as a prophet to a nation that was very rebellious and hard-hearted, he reminded Jeremiah that I knew you before I formed you, and I called you. And that's God reminding each and every one of us here that He knows us, He has called us, He has chosen us. So we can go out and actually represent Him. We can go out and bring light in those situations that are filled with so much darkness. We can go out and share the gospel, because it's not about us, it's all about Him. He has qualified us. So even when we don't feel like, oh, I can't do this, or I slipped up yesterday, or I was rude to that person, we can come before God and repent. But that shouldn't hinder us from actually walking in the instructions that God has given us, right? Because also, the enemy will also try to attack our identity, because he knows that if we don't believe what God says we are, then we are ineffective. If you don't believe that you're a child of God, then you won't walk as His child. If you don't believe that you're the light of the world, then you won't walk as light. You won't even aspire to be that, because you just, it's far from you. But when we believe that this is what God says of me, and maybe it's not reflecting in my life, how can I become that? That's the whole essence of discipleship, where we come into the family of God, we come into the kingdom of God, and we see all these things that God is saying about us, but we just don't feel. And the whole point of sanctification is becoming like God, becoming that image, right? Because we're already given the image, but our minds tell us the otherwise. Like, our minds lie to us. So the whole point of transforming our minds is actually coming into agreement with what God says we are, so that then we can show up as those people. The other thing is to acknowledge. So we, before, like, for our faith to be, for the sharing of our faith to be effective, we've got to acknowledge every good thing, right, in us. And we've spoken about identity, how that is the starting point. Know who you are, because then you also know what access you have to. So as a child of God, you know that you have an inheritance, right? And so what do we have access to, or what do we carry as children of God, as ambassadors of Christ? So first is, we have access to God. Like, the Bible says that come boldly into His throne of grace and obtain mercy and help in your time of need. Like, that's an invitation to children of God. We have access. And I believe that's what Abraham knew. I mean, he didn't have Hebrews, but he had that understanding that God is before me. Like, God is here. I can talk to Him about what He has just revealed to me. And we see that every time he was like, okay, one more, please don't get angry. You know, let me just say one more thing. What about 50, what about 40? What about 30? We have that same access with God. Ephesians 3:12 says, because of Christ and our faith in Him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. We can bring those situations that are happening in our family before God, because He is the one that is able to move. He's the one that has the power to change situations. He's the one that has the power to heal. But we've got to bring those situations into His presence. When you're speaking to someone at work and they seem very hopeless, you know, they have challenges everywhere around them, you can be like, can I pray for you? Because you understand that I have access to God. But if you don't believe that, you'd be like, oh, I'm so sorry. Hope it all gets better, you know? But we have access to God, and we know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond what we think or imagine. So why not bring those people into His presence? Why not be that point of access that when people see you, they're like, yeah, if I want to talk to God, I can go to that person. But then they come, we have conversations with them, and then we also let them know that actually you can access God by yourself. You just have to believe in Him. We also have access to truth or freedom. The Bible says in John 8:31-32, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Many times we see a lot of people in captivity, in deception. Like, there's a lot of deception going on, like, in the world. When you read the news, a lot of confusion. But the Bible here is telling us the antidote. The antidote is truth. You know, if someone is in bondage, they need truth. We have the truth. The word of God is the truth. Well, there's also another scripture that talks about where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? So when you are in a situation where there's deception, there is bondage, you can actually bring freedom in that place by sharing the truth that you know, that you have, by asking the Holy Spirit to come into that situation. Because they, in bondage, they don't know that. You're the person that God has positioned in that place to bring that freedom that they need. Isaiah 5:13 says, "Therefore, my people go into exile because they lack knowledge of God, and their honorable men are famished, and their common people are parched with thirst." We see that people do go into captivity because they lack knowledge. But where's the hope? Where should they get the knowledge from? God is sending you. He wants to partner with you. He has given you the Holy Spirit who guides you into all truth. So you have the truth. When you're there driving and God places someone on your heart, what do you do? Or reminds you of a situation, do you declare the truth over that situation? Because we know that words are powerful, right? The Bible says that he sent his word and they were healed. So, and you carry the Spirit of God. So when God is bringing a word just inside of you, you know, causing a word to bubble up inside of you concerning a situation, he is giving you the grace to release that word. If you don't release it, it's not going to be released, right? So we've got to acknowledge that we hear from God, that we know the truth. Because then when God starts to put impressions in our heart concerning people that even here in the church, people in our workplace, people that we go to school with, we will be quick to release because we understand that actually where the truth is, there is freedom. When people hear the truth, they are set free. And so I don't want my friend to be in bondage. I don't want them to be in those addictions. I'm going to release the truth. I'm going to stand in the gap for them until I see them walk in that freedom, that God, that Jesus died on the cross that they may live in, right? And this led me to the story in Acts 8, 4 to 13. We're not going to read it, but it's a story about Philip. So Stephen, the first martyr in the Bible, was persecuted, and when he was persecuted, then everyone scattered. All the believers just scattered and went wherever they wanted to go, like wherever they could find safety, they went there. And Philip ended up in Samaria. And he got there, and there was a lot of deception in that area. They had this sorcerer, Simon the sorcerer. I don't know if anyone has heard of him. But he was lying to these people with all his magic tricks, you know, lying to them, come to me for healing, come to me for this, come to me for that. And what did Philip do? Philip decided that, no, these people are going to know Jesus. I'm going to spread the gospel. And the Bible says that he started to spread the news about the kingdom of God, and God backed up his word with power. So he would lay hands on the sick and they would be healed. Demons were cast out. But this was one person, because when you read the Bible, it's highlighting one person, right? And the Bible says that the believers in Jerusalem heard about what Philip was doing in Samaria, and they sent help. They sent people to support him. But Philip made that decision that, I've come to this place. I know I've come here for refuge, but there's a lot of lies. People are in bondage. People are being deceived. I'm going to do something about it because I carry the gospel. I carry the truth. And so he went and spread that. He told people. He laid hands on people and they were healed. And in that, the Bible says many came to believe God, and even the sorcerer came to believe God, guys. So we see that even the most wicked person you can think of, if you walk in your true identity and if you acknowledge that God has given you the truth and has given you his power, he's given his authority, that wicked person will come to Jesus because God loves them. Like, God loves the wicked people, right? The other thing that God has given us is authority and power. We have authority to stand against the enemy. The Bible says in James 4:7, "So submit to the authority of God, resist the devil, stand firm against him, and he will flee from you." So when we see that the enemy is oppressing people in our family, in our communities, we can resist the devil because we are submitted to the authority of God. And God has given us that authority and power to resist him. Luke 9:1-2 says, "When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure disease, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." That's the same power God has given you. God has given you authority and power to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to resist whatever way the enemy is manifesting in our community, in your workplace, whatever way you are able to stand and say, no, this place will be filled with the glory of God, the Spirit of God, and not the enemy. And also James 5:16 says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Remember, you are the righteousness of God, right? So the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. That means that your prayer is powerful and effective. Right. You don't need five of us to come and join you to pray. You can pray whichever way you know how to pray. And the Lord says that your prayer is powerful and effective. So the next time someone is sharing a challenge with you, a need, or you see someone and they're in pain, acknowledge that, God, you have given me your righteousness. And you have said in your word that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So I'm going to respond and go and pray for that person. And God will show up. And the last thing that God has given us is spiritual gifts. So we all know in 1 Corinthians 12:7-11, it talks about how the different gifts of the Spirit, and God has given to each person a gift, you know, according to what he desires. But what are you doing with the gift that God has given you? What are you doing with the dreams that God has given you? If you're someone who dreams, if you're someone who is prophetic, if you're a teacher, if you're someone who encourages, do you encourage those that are around you? Do you actually seek God to walk in your gifts? Or do you be like, oh, when I feel it, I'll do it. Or, you know, I can't do it because, I'm not equipped and all of that. Because you acknowledge that God has given me a spiritual gift, you will walk in that direction to grow in that gift, because the gift is to equip your brothers and sisters. It's not for yourself. And so in order for others to be equipped, you have to say yes to your gift. You have to walk in obedience. And I believe that God has placed different things on our hearts, you know, since the year started, even today in the morning when you woke up, maybe God reminded you of someone or God reminded you of something. And God is just saying, respond. Respond to what he's putting on your heart, and he will move through you, because you have all that he needs to actually reveal the glory of God in that situation. All he needs is you to say yes. That's it. So the personal challenge for this week, or my encouragement this week, is that as we go into our workplaces, as we go into our families, as we have conversations with whomever the Lord brings our way, let's be listening to what God is saying, what God is instructing us, and believe that he's instructing you, and then respond by doing what he says you should do. So yeah, that's what I wanted to share with us today. And before I pray, I just wanted to give an opportunity to anyone who hasn't given their life to Jesus. I know I've spoken about us being the temple of the Holy Spirit. I've spoken about being the righteousness of God, but actually that belongs to the children of God. And today God is making an invitation to you to come and join him, to come and join his kingdom, to come and join his family. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, I'm just going to count from 1 to 3. And if by the show of hands you just want to put up your hand, somebody will come and have a word with you after the service to kind of show you what are the next steps or how we can support you. So 1, 2, 3. Is there anyone that would like to give their life to Jesus? So Heavenly Father, we honor you and we thank you, Father God, for your word that has come to us this morning. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that in your glory and your splendor, you still want to partner with us to reveal your glory and your kingdom on this earth. Father, as we go into this week, we pray that we will walk acknowledging everything you have placed inside of us, and we will have willing hearts and obedient hearts to that which you are calling us to do, Father God. We pray against any lie the enemy may try to throw us this week, that, you know, you're not speaking to us, or we're not enough, or we can't do that. No, God, we come out of agreement with those lies, and we declare and acknowledge that, God, you are sending us. You have called us your ambassadors. You have called us your righteousness. You have called us your light. And we are saying, yes, God, we are going to go in that truth. Father God, we thank you that you want to partner with us. We thank you for that which you're going to do in our families, in our workplaces, in our nation, and in our communities, because we are saying yes to you. We honor you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. Amen.